Hi, working mom. Are you feeling like your cluttered home doesn't reflect who you are and you're ready to get it tidied up for good, even if you only have 10 minutes a day to spend on organizing? If your answer is yes, then go ahead and sign up for a free home clutter audit. In this free 15-minute call, I'm going to check into where you're wasting your time on organizing, and we're going to fix that with an organizing roadmap created just for you and your house. If you are a busy working mom looking to minimize the time you spend on organizing and maximize the time you spend on whatever you want to be doing, then the free home clutter audit is for you. Sign up now at fireflybridge.com/schedule. Hey, working mom. Welcome to Order Meets Style. I'm Zeenat Seaman, professional organizer with Firefly Bridge Organizing. I'm here to provide you with simple tips and ideas to organize your home so that you can love the way your home looks and functions, and so you're proud to invite anyone over anytime without stressing out about clutter. Ready for a beautifully organized home that makes you smile every time you walk in? Let's make it happen. Welcome to episode 3. We just celebrated Earth Day, and for a long time, I had thought that Earth Day was fairly recently created as a worldwide event. In reality, Earth Day was first held in 1970 and then globally starting in 1990. That first Earth Day was the brainchild of two senators who teamed up with an activist to create this nationwide movement. They recruited a bunch of staff members who helped to, at first, they were creating and promoting college campus teach-ins to the media. And then pretty soon they scaled up their plans to reach other organizations and faith groups. And they chose April 22nd for the events because it was a weekday sort of halfway between spring break and final exams. And that way they could have the biggest number of students participating. And that Earth Day in 1970 inspired 20 million Americans, which back then was 10% of the population, to take active part in demonstrations against the really harmful impacts of industrial development. And just so you understand the scope and the impact of that first Earth Day, by the end of 1970, the EPA was created, OSHA and the National Environmental Education Act and the Clean Air Act were passed, and the Clean Water Act was passed just 2 years later in 1972. So 1970, Earth Day 1970, tends to mark the birth of the modern environmental movement. And that was when the connection between our pollution and the effects on public health and the environment really became mainstream. So today I want to share with you a couple of easy things that you can do to take action against pollution in an environment that's near and dear to your heart, the inside of your home, all in honor of Earth Day. Now, we all know that there are many sources of chemicals in our homes, right? From the construction materials that are used, the furniture, the paint, if you have carpets, well, the carpeting, but also the products that you use for cleaning and for personal care. And by pollution here, I mean the stuff that's in the air or on the surfaces in our houses that are just not good for us, that we should be trying to avoid. And over the years, our homes have become much more efficient. Builders and architects are designing homes that do a much better job of sealing our homes from the outdoors for the sake of energy savings and also noise and privacy, but of course also pollutants and allergens. What that means is that the more time that we spend inside our homes, the more we're exposed to whatever chemicals have a chance to build up inside. And the people who spend the most time inside their homes, well, they're the very young and the very old, both of whom are the most vulnerable to the effects of toxins. So it really makes sense to think about this and to take stock of what you have control of in your home. And that's what I'm going to share with you today. Two things that you can do to reduce some of the toxins in your home. Just two things to reduce some of the toxins. We start small. Okay, so the first area I want to talk about are PFAS. PFAS, or PFAS, is a type of compound. It stands for poly and perfluoroalkyl substances, for you chemists and chemical engineers out there like me. PFAS are amazing compounds because they're so strong. They're made of carbon and fluorine bonds, which are some of the strongest organic bonds, And because of these bonds, they can repel liquids, oils, and stains. Now, there are many, 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 many thousands of different PFAS substances that have been created since the 1940s. And because of their properties, they're found in so many products, from food packaging to nonstick frying pans and rain jackets and makeup and other personal care products. Yes, the stuff that goes on your face and on your body. PFAS are found in things like shampoo, lipsticks, eyeshadows, moisturizers, nail polish, and cleansers. They're used to smooth the skin and the hair to make them look shiny or to affect a product's consistency and texture. So think about anything that's waterproof. Waterproof mascara and waterproof eyeliner, they're more likely to be made using PFAS. Now, very few studies have been done about PFAS in cosmetics, so we don't really know if or how much or if any of it at all can be absorbed through the skin. Still, there are calls to avoid the use of PFAS in cosmetics because in some cases, in many cases, there are alternatives. And the concern here is that PFAS break down very slowly and they accumulate in the environment. That can mean in water, in animals, so in the food that we may eat, and in human bodies too. There are studies still being done, but what we do know is that certain levels of PFAS have been linked to decreased fertility and increased blood pressure in pregnant women, developmental delays and accelerated puberty in children, increase in some cancers, interference with the body's hormones, and the ability of the body's immune system to fight infections. So if you're concerned about PFAS in your personal care products, one very easy thing that you can do right now is to look up the ingredients in those products. And what you're looking for are some really long chemical names that contain the word fluoro, F-L-U-O-R-O. So things like perfluorononyl dimethicone or perfluorodecalin. And also look for PTFE, which is also known as Teflon. Who knew that our makeup had Teflon in it? But there you go. Another thing that you can do, which will take a little bit of research, is to look for natural brands. Now, of course, there are brands who claim to be natural, but they're not using 100% natural products. But still, they're using less of the substances in addition to PFAS that we should be trying to avoid. Things like parabens, phthalates, formaldehyde, polyethylene, and DEA. A couple of brands that you might like to look into are Juice Beauty, which you can find at Ulta stores, and Mango People at Sephora. I don't have any affiliation with any of these brands, but simply because they are easily found at these stores, which you might have in your neighborhood, it's worth a try to take a look at them. But there are many others. Just do a Google search or go into the stores and take a look. Keep in mind that you should always check the ingredients because companies might add one product or a whole line that isn't as clean as others under their own brand, or they might reformulate at some point the products that you're already using. So bottom line, you should make it a practice to read the ingredients of your personal care items. Another choice that you can make right now to avoid PFAS at home is to choose stainless steel or cast iron or ceramic coated pans instead of PTFE or Teflon coated nonstick cookware. And that one, of course, is much easier to see and so easier to avoid in your home than these cosmetics. Think also carefully about gear, clothing, or furniture that's labeled stain or water repellent, because those probably contain PFAS. Things like Gore-Tex and Teflon are examples of these materials to look for. And fast food containers that are made for greasy foods probably contain PFAS. I want to be clear, though, that we're not going to be able to avoid PFAS altogether. They're everywhere. But knowing what to look for in areas that we can control, like the products we're bringing into our homes and the products we're cleaning with, can help us to reduce our exposure to them. So the second area that I want to focus on to reduce the toxins in our homes are our cleaning solutions and sprays. Not only are we reducing the amount of toxic chemicals in our homes when we get rid of some of these cleaners, but we're also decluttering and simplifying our cleaning routines. And I started down this road not too long ago myself. My experience has been that it's easier to get rid of some cleaners and harder to get rid of others. So I had to make a decision about what I was okay getting rid of and what I wanted to keep. And the way I did that was by making a distinction between cleaning and disinfecting. So cleaning is what we do daily to get rid of dirt, germs, crumbs from surfaces. In other words, cleaning removes things. Disinfecting, on the other hand, kills things like viruses and bacteria. So cleaning is something that we want to do regularly to remove dirt, oils, and germs from our homes and our bodies because we want to be clean people and we want to live in clean homes. But disinfecting is something that we need to worry about when we need to kill dangerous, disease-causing bacteria and viruses. And we can kind of predict where these dangerous bugs are going to be. So if I've handled raw meat in my sink and on my counters, or if someone in my house is sick with a communicable disease, well, then I break out the disinfectant. And you might ask, well, why not just use the disinfectants all the time anyway? Well, because scientists have found health risks associated with long-term exposure and overuse of these disinfectants. Popular cleaners and wipes, things like Lysol and Clorox, they contain something called quaternary ammonium compounds, and these have the risk of causing antibiotic resistance. But also, the stuff that's given off, the fumes from bleach and ammonia and these quaternary cleaners, the stuff that we're breathing in as we use them can cause respiratory issues in some people. With bleach, we're cleaning with bleach, sometimes we're doing laundry with bleach, and then we're washing it down the drain. Now, in the U.S., hopefully all that wastewater goes through wastewater treatment facilities, and by the time the water is released, things are pretty good. Less than 1% of chlorine compounds from household strength bleach remains in that water. For industrial strength bleach, it can be a little bit more. In low concentrations like that, the remaining compounds, the remaining chlorine compounds, they degrade pretty quickly. But during the pandemic, chlorine-based disinfectant usage rose more than 48% around the world, according to a paper published by the NIH. And once these higher concentrations of chlorine reached organic matter out in the world, reactions occurred that formed potential human carcinogens and mutagens. Not to mention that disinfection byproducts gets into soil and groundwater over time, which is toxic to both aquatic life and plants. And there's more to the paper. It explains how the release of chlorine-based disinfectants fumes into the air releases chlorine gases, which can then be washed back into the ground by precipitation. So, in other words, use disinfectants when you need to disinfect, but not when you just need to clean. I also found out in all my research that I had been disinfecting all wrong anyway. Disinfectants actually need to sit on a surface for some time for them to work. So me spraying Lysol cleaner on my surfaces and then just wiping it off wasn't really doing much to kill potential harmful bacteria and viruses. The label actually said to leave it on for 3 minutes, and I certainly wasn't doing that. Now, hydrogen peroxide is a good disinfectant, and it's less harmful than some of these other disinfectants out there. It's considered to be a safe disinfectant. Alcohol-based solutions for disinfection don't have to be wiped off at all because they'll just evaporate after a bit. But you have to mix them with water or else the alcohol will just evaporate before it has a chance to sit there and kill the bugs. And some of those botanical disinfectants say that they should be left on for 15 minutes or more. That takes a lot of patience. Bleach solutions. So bleach mixed with water should sit between 1 and 10 minutes depending on the concentration. And then bleach breaks down very quickly in water, as I mentioned, so you would have to make a new solution each time you need to disinfect, or at least a new solution each day. And what about vinegar? Well, vinegar just isn't strong enough. It's, in general, vinegar is not considered to be a reliable disinfectant. So I do keep a disinfectant spray in my house or hydrogen peroxide, and when I use it, which is occasional right now, especially if I've handled raw meat or someone is really sick, then I make sure it sits on the surfaces I want to disinfect for long enough, and that I ventilate the area well. Now, what about the daily cleaning then? Well, the first thing I did there to declutter all my cleaning supplies was to move to Castile soap in as many areas as I could. I also added vinegar to my repertoire and a natural abrasive baking soda as well. Now, Castile soap is a vegetable-based soap. Originally, it was made from olive oil, but you can also find Castile soap made from coconut, hemp, avocado, almond and walnut oils too. And it's quite concentrated, so a little bit goes a really long way. It can be used to clean anything from your hair to your laundry. Another very short chemistry lesson about how Castile soap and generally all soaps work. Soap molecules have one end that's attracted to water and the other end avoids water. When soap is combined with water, it creates these free-floating charged spheres that attract dirt and other types of non-water-soluble molecules like oils, and it captures them inside these spheres. And when you rinse the soap away, the dirt also gets rinsed away with it. Now, if you Google, where can I use Castile soap in my house? You'll come up with so many results. Too many results. So I started with the basics, my kitchen and bathroom. I mix a tiny bit of Castile soap, like a teaspoonful, into a small spray bottle, and that's my cleaner. I always shake it before you use it, before you spray it and scrub. Sometimes I'll add a few drops of an essential oil, like a citrus or a tea tree oil, just for a nice scent. And what about vinegar and baking soda? Well, vinegar is an acid, and a vinegar solution can cut through soap scum, hard water buildup, and dirt. Baking soda is a mild abrasive, it also absorbs odors, and it's an alkaline base. So it has the potential to dissolve or weaken the adhesion of organic matter that's on a surface. And that's how those two things work. Mixing the baking soda and vinegar, it makes an impressive fizzy reaction, right? That releases heat and carbon dioxide. We all remember our baking soda and vinegar volcanoes, but I really doubt that it does much in terms of actual cleaning. I used to also keep a tub of something called a Benequy under my sink. It's basically this mild abrasive clay paste. It also contains a type of soap, and so it's a moist paste. But I recently found out that the soap uses animal fat and lye. So now I'm in search of an alternative clay-based abrasive paste. It was great for scrubbing gunk or grout stains, stains on sinks, that kind of thing. Right now, my best alternative, the best that I've found, is Bonami powder. Just the powder, not the sprays that they make, which are completely different. They have different ingredients. But as a powder, it's harder to use than my Benequy paste. I have to create my own paste before using it. Still, it does the job and it's all natural, so I'm with it for now. Now, the first place I go to do research about these things, about the safety of cleaning products and cosmetics, is the Environmental Working Group database at EWG.org, and I'll put that link in the show notes. I look at labels and I check the EWG rating. So the most important thing to remember is that we're aiming to reduce the stress of our daily cleaning routines. We're trying to reduce the clutter of our cleaning sprays and bottles and tools under our sinks and our cabinets. But we also want to include convenience and ease of use as part of our decision making for whatever it is that we're trying to do in our homes. Because look, if getting rid of nonstick pans that have PFAS meant that I'd have to be scrubbing pots and pans every day, I would have fought against that kicking and screaming. But I found a simple solution. If something has stuck in a stainless steel pan, let's say, well, I boil a small layer of water in it, like deglazing a pan while cooking. So while the pan is still hot, I add water to it and let it boil up. And if that doesn't release what's stuck on, well, then I add a little bit of baking soda and scrub it around with a wooden spoon. If it doesn't all go away the first time, and I don't want to mess with it for longer, I'll repeat the process later, and that normally does it. It's a good balance for me, and I don't have the guilt of the PFAS from that pan. PFAS might be everywhere, but not in that pan. So recently, I had a conversation with Pat Chin to tell us her organizing story. She went through the detoxifying process of her home cleaning products, and I wanted to hear about how she did it, how difficult it was, and what she found out, and maybe she would have some good tips for me as I continue to do the same. My guest today is Pat Chin, who is the owner of The Healthy Home. She is a home health consultant. She's based in Plantation, Florida, although she can work anywhere, virtually too, right, Pat?
That's right.
Welcome to Order Meets Style, and thank you for sharing your organizing story with us.
Thanks for having me.
In 2018 or so, you began to what I'm calling detoxify your home. So why did you decide to do that?
For many years before that, my kids, my two older ones, kept saying, you know, don't eat this, don't eat that. So it's really more about healthy eating. And then I kind of fell into it. I was actually at a networking meeting, and there was a consultant there from Norwex, and they have the chemical-free cleaning products. And she gave us this little sample package, and I took it home. So I said, yeah, give it a try. So I actually tried these little squares. They actually work awesome. So I said, all right, let me try. So I actually ordered a couple
squares of like a cleaning cloth sort of thing.
Yes. Okay. A cloth that you used to clean, and then one that was worked awesome on glass. It's like no streaks ever again. So let me try these two little pieces of cloth. I tried them and I was like, okay, if it works this good and they're only a little teeny piece, what could the regular size cloth do? So let me try it. So I ordered a couple products and I started using them. And then I started more reading, you know, about the company, what the products, what their mission statements were and how the products work. Mm-hmm. I actually tested some of them myself to see that they actually worked, and I fell in love with them. So I said, all right, this is good. So that was just two cloths, and that took out like 80% of the cleaning products I use at home, just with two cloths.
Wait. So Norwex from the name, it's a Norwegian company.
That's right. It's a Norwegian company. They've been around for about 29, 30 years, and it all started with the little cloth.
So started with cloths, and they've expanded into some cleaning products like sprays and cleaners.
Enzyme-based. So it's all using enzymes, so not chemicals. Mm-hmm. So enzymes are more efficient than cleaning, so little goes a long way.
So that's what you're using instead. You're using enzyme cleaners. You're using the cleaning cloths instead of a bunch of paper towels and instead of a bunch of different chemical sprays and bleaches and the quaternary product.
That's right.
Is it more work, more physical labor than using these other chemical sprays?
No, it's not more work. It's actually quicker and safer. So with the cloths, because you're using a cloth, you're not having to worry about getting this spray, that spray, and then stopping to spray. And then you don't have to carry this big bucket of cleaning products around. You go with the cloth and then you just wipe and clean. So it's really good in, you know, I decluttered underneath my kitchen cabinets in my laundry room cabinet.
And so this is what you do as a job now. How do you work with clients in this way? What do you do when you come into my house?
So I can do home assessments. I come in and I look at what you have and give you some recommendations. We can create a customized plan. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you can figure out how you want to implement it, because everything takes time. And it's also a mindset change, and it also takes money, right? So you need to like balance where you want to go and how quickly you want to move. So we'll create the plan, and you can work with the plan and implement as fast or as slow as you want to go. So I also, not just the cleaning products, I also look at what you water that you drink, and you know, how you sleep, what type of sleep you're getting. Do you use those plugins that are not good for you? Do you have air purifiers? What does your air quality in your home look like? Because it's not just about cleaning products. When you think about the environment within your home and you want a clean, healthy environment, you need to look at everything that's around and start moving towards a better set of alternatives. And whenever you don't have a filter for water or for air, your body becomes that filter. And eventually, with everything that you're taking into your body, you start to break down. And that's where you then become susceptible to diseases. Right.
I just heard that, and that's like digging into my brain now. Your body becomes the filter for all of the stuff that you're spraying and using and breathing around your house.
Yes.
Oh, that's good and that's scary. And then I mentioned earlier in this episode that the people who spend the most time at home and in homes are the very young and the very old, and they are typically the most susceptible to illnesses in the first place. And now this concentration of stuff in our home, you know, they're inhaling that, they're touching that, they're ingesting it.
So everything that you do with decluttering is awesome, too, because when you think about decluttering, you don't have the dust that collects with all that stuff, right? Dust has a lot of chemicals in it, but people don't realize that. It's not just that, like, yes, it causes you sneezing and like, you know, congestion. There's chemicals in those dust particles that we have around.
Okay, good. So then we can work in tandem. I'll help everyone declutter, and then you can come in and help them declutter their cleaning supplies and their cleaning routines. So what kind of cleaning routine do you have? What kind of cleaning routine do you follow in your house?
So I typically will use the cloths to clean the kitchen, the bathroom, anywhere. And then, so I clean the bathrooms, like one cloth will clean, you know, I have one for the toilet and I have one for the rest of it, but I clean with that. And then it takes it's less time. And then I mop. So even I mop like almost every day, just because we have a dog, you know, all sorts of things with him. So keeping the floors clean with getting out all that dust and stuff off of the floors as we walk around. So I mop pretty much every other day and I clean with the cloths as needed. And that's it. And it really is so quick and so easy. If anything spills on the floor, I don't grab a paper towel. I grab a cloth and just wipes it up. So with reducing waste with you know, the use of all those paper towels and napkins and things like that.
Yeah. So tell us, can you just shout out the name of your company for us and also where people can find you on social media?
So the company's name is The Healthy Home. I am on Instagram at CleanWWaterPC. Okay. I'm also in Facebook with The Healthy Home and LinkedIn with The Healthy Home as well.
I'll put all that into the show notes so everybody can find you. Thank you, Pat, so much for being here and for sharing your story, sharing your organizing story. And thank you.
Thank you.
Pat makes it sound so easy, doesn't she? It has not been that easy for me, but I am making strides and I'm choosing carefully. And in doing these two things, checking for products that have PFAS and reducing the toxic cleaners that we have in our homes, we are going to be making a difference this Earth Day. So enjoy your day and I'll meet you here again next week. Hold up, working mom. You're probably wasting time and energy when it comes to organizing your home, and I'm going to show you where you're going off track and how to fix it. Get signed up for a free 15-minute home clutter audit by going to fireflybridge.com/schedule. That's fireflybridge.com/schedule.